He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things, and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As you may or may not know, the term Lent is derived from another language for a word that simply means spring. It is no coincidence, I guess, that the season of Lent coincides with the beginning of spring, where there are signs of new life, where the death of winter suddenly comes to life with spring and summer on the way. Many Sunday mornings lately, before the great blizzard of March 2017, I would be driving to church in the morning, and I would see people out jogging and walking. It was as if that was their way of new life, finding new life, new beginnings. They'd been couch potatoes all winter long, and now they were doing this exercise in order to turn over a new leaf, to improve their life, to improve everything. Back in the old days, people would go to church for Lent to look to ways to change their lives. Ancient church would impose the idea that you would mortify the flesh. You would give up something or you would do something uncomfortable as you turn over a new leaf, a new beginning during the season of Lent. Well, now these joggers are out there and they're mortifying the flesh and they don't even know that it's Lent. They're trying to start something new, to begin a new life in a way. And that's exactly what we are trying to do in this season of Lent. It's a time for us to find a new beginning. Many of us are searching for ways that we might find more meaning to our lives, searching for ways that we might be able to have that fullness of life that we all desire. We are searching. Well, in our lesson this morning, we meet Nicodemus, who is also searching. I don't know how many sermons and blogs I've run across entitled Nick at Night. Now, you'd only find that funny if you stay up past 10:30 at night, because Nick at Night is a TV channel that plays old reruns. But Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, and he's searching. He's searching for that thing that will complete his life. He's searching for something, and he doesn't even perhaps know what it is. Our gospel author, John, likes to use lots of metaphors, contrasts, birth and death, darkness and light, blindness and sight. And so it's no coincidence that Nicodemus comes to him at night. Now, other than the time on the clock, he's searching, but he's in the dark. He doesn't know even what he's looking for. Yet he comes to Jesus. He knows that Jesus is a man sent from God because God has honored the things that he does. He makes these signs, he performs these actions, these miracles, and God honors them. The sick are healed. The sinners are forgiven. People are given new life through Jesus. So he comes to Jesus even though he's in the dark. He doesn't know even what he's searching for. I can relate to Nicodemus. There are many times in my life when my prayers have been filled with words like, but, why, how come, when, and often I don't know, and the answers are hard to come. I know what it's like to be in the dark, and sometimes you don't even know what it is that you need, but you know you need something, that something is missing. That something is amiss. Something doesn't make sense to Nicodemus either. Here Jesus apparently is being honored by God. He is a man from God. Perhaps even he's Messiah, the anointed, promised one. But he doesn't fit the bill. He's not the kind of holy man that they expect. Not the kind of Messiah, certainly. Hangs out with all the wrong people. Sinners, tax collectors, instead of being a strong, powerful, violent kind of leader, he's one of love and compassion and forgiveness. He even goes so far as to say, forgive your enemies? Come on now. It doesn't make sense to Nicodemus. So Nicodemus comes in the dark. And Jesus tells him something pretty astounding. Tells him that he will need something new. Something new. And he says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless one is born from above. Throughout this season of Lent, we're thinking about the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come is the theme. And several of the things that we will be looking at is how the kingdom of God comes among us and what that means for you and me in our daily lives. What is the impact of being part of God's kingdom? And Jesus tells Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom of God unless you are born from above. Now, some translations have it as born again. And that has led to a whole group of Christians who have made that the quintessential cornerstone of their theology. Understanding that to be born again is somehow some momentary enlightenment when you come to Jesus and at that point you are saved. Well, the funny thing is, this phrase is only used once in the entire Bible, and it really runs contrary to the gospel. The idea that we, by force of will and wisdom and our own turn of heart, can choose God We can choose to be God's child. Well, Scripture affirms over and over again, it's not our choosing, it's not our doing, it's not our earning, not our deserving, but it is God's gift to us that makes us children of God. It's in your bulletin every week. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing. It is a gift from God. So this being born from above, or being born again, is God's gift. You know, the phrase even suggests as much. This new birth comes from above to you as a gift. But what is that? What does that mean? Well, John likes to play off those metaphors. And, you know, it's probably not, as Nicodemus starts to think, a literal rebirth, physical rebirth, but perhaps a spiritual one. But there's similarities. Ladies, those of you who have had children, you know that giving birth to another human being is not a one-time, momentary, quick thing. It takes months, months of gestation. It takes pain. It takes work. And then that's not even to mention the next 18 or 51 years of nurturing that follows to give birth to this new person. And so if we are to see the kingdom of God, maybe it's not a one-moment enlightenment as much as it's a nurturing. A gradual growing into faith, into the knowledge of the kingdom of God. Perhaps it takes time. And where does this happen? Jesus said that one must be born of water and the Spirit. The ancient church always understood that to mean baptism. Baptism, the place where we become children of God, where we are marked with the sign of the cross and sealed by the Holy Spirit forever. That is where it begins. And that's where we are nurtured in faith, growing closer and closer to God. Sometimes we run the other way, but God seeks us out. Again, this birth from above is God's gift to us. So, one cannot see the kingdom of God unless one is born from above, of water and the Spirit. Well, what is that kingdom of God? What does it look like? Jesus, a few verses later, tells us pretty clearly, but we don't really notice, I don't think. John 3:16. We all know that verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What is the kingdom of God that we see when we are born from above? What does it look like? It looks like God's love. It looks like God's love. That's what his kingdom is all about. Love. Not power. Not achievement. Not possessions or material. Love. God's love characterizes this kingdom. And what impact does that have on us? That's how we live in that kingdom, a kingdom of love. God so loved, actually the word is the cosmos. God so loved the cosmos. That means every single person you encounter. That means every single person you don't even know exists. That means every single person that you can't stand to be near, even the persons that you hate. The love of God in God's kingdom is for all of them, as it is for you, for the whole creation. But there's more. What does that kingdom of God look like in really practical terms? We go to the next verse, the one that everybody forgets, John 3:17. For the Son didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Not to condemn, not to punish, not to critique, as we're better than you are, that we are more enlightened than you are, that we are saved and you are not. No, the kingdom of God is one where all are welcome, where all are included, and it's not a place of critique or condemnation, but of forgiveness. Forgiveness and love. There's even more. Our text ended at verse 17, but if you follow along down to verse 21, Jesus says something interesting. He says, those who do what is true in his kingdom come to the light, that means discernment, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. In other words, this kingdom of God of ours also has actions connected. How we act, how we live. Do we live in a kingdom of love? Do we live in a kingdom without condemnation? Is that how we operate? Are our deeds done so that God is glorified? Can it be clearly seen through us that God's kingdom has come and that we have been born into that kingdom by grace, a gift of God? No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born from above, as we are. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.